John in Canada, thanks for staying up late. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Yeah, they're a bunch of criminals, for sure. You know, nobody there on our Magic TVs qualified to discuss this issue, or if they are, they're not speaking correctly. You know, the major fundamental error is the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act in 1999, which mixes the funny money, the gangster cash, with our pensions. So they trade funny money, like Bear Stearns did, $77 trillion in derivatives, which have no real capital as backing. And when they make their trades, they pay commissions with the pensions. And so Bear Stearns goes dry, all the money's gone, and they say, oh, buy these toxic assets that aren't worth anything, but give us trillions, $30 trillion to buy up all this toxic asset because everybody's hurting. You know, it's massive, massive criminal fraud. And yet, like you say, like, what are they doing here? It's only $1 billion. Well, we have them dead to rights, evidence rock solid. You stole $1 billion, and nobody's going to prison? You know, the thing with Goldman Sachs on this scam is they actually contacted the financiers for policemen pensions. And they said, here, this is a great place to put the policeman pension cash. AAA rated. And they lied there. That was called fraud. And then they went to AIG and said, hey, you guys are bookies, right? It's illegal to do this everywhere, but magical world of Wall Street, nobody's paying attention. We want to take bets that these suckers, these cops, are going to lose their shirts. And AIG said, well, that's impossible. It's AAA. We'll take your bet. And then the American suckers bail out AIG to pay back Goldman Sachs for the double whammy. So that's the biggest thing. It has to be corrected with the mixing of the funny money with the real cash. But it's even more fundamentally in error in respect to the public isn't offered a seat at the table. You know, in other countries like Iraq prior to the bombing, the depositor was the shareholder. Doesn't that just make sense? But in America, there is no public interest being defended. It should be the Treasury Department, but they just do whatever the Federal Reserve tells them to. But the biggest problem, of course, is that the banks don't cover our loans. When you go and get a mortgage and pay it for 30 years and then you miss a payment and they foreclose on the house, you get none of your cash back. They steal that house, and they didn't put down a penny, particularly since 1999. Where the capital is no longer measured by how much money you have, but just BS, you know? So, but even if we go by their so-called legitimate rules, it used to be one-tenth, then Chris Cox changed it to one-twentieth, then it went to one-fortieth, and then Bill Moyers on PBS a couple months ago talked about it being smaller than one-one-hundredth of what they lend you. And,
exactly.
Well, that's not fair, you know?
Yeah.
So they take all our cash. It's a fraud. Nobody would agree to this if we could speak freely on CNN, but they're not going to tell us about these policemen falling victims because they want to pirate the authority that we have with our police services also. So they don't want to keep the cops informed. But I think they're hurting just like everybody else is, and we're going to wake up to this and say we want all our cash back. We want the $30 trillion back. The hedge fund brokers, some of these guys have cleared more than $1 trillion apiece personally. $1 trillion and haven't done anything for anybody. I can't do that. You can't do that. They got special friends, you know, special licenses to Nickel and Dumas with their fast computers in the marketplace, which Goldman Sachs is even running today. Apparently, I think it's, you might know this figure better than me, but I think it was they're clearing $10 billion a month. Just not doing any favors for anybody, but just nickel and dooming everybody because they got their special computer. We can't have that special computer, but they can. And again, the public is no public defense.
Yeah, maybe we should grab a bunch of PS3s and wire them together. Anyway,
yeah. We get rid of
it. Yeah, exactly.
But they won't.
Exactly.
Yet.
Good point.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to, you mentioned repeal of Glass-Steagall, and I always think Bruce Wiseman wrote some great articles last year. I think I really didn't see anybody summarize it as well as he did. One of them was titled "The Financial Crisis: A Look Behind the Wizard's Curtain." Both of them were run in Canada Free Press, and the other one was titled "The Purpose of the Financial Crisis," which was great too. But he pointed out that along with Glass-Steagall, you can see this orchestrated progression of events, and that's why I call these guys the suggestibilists or the suggesters, because they, most of this nonsense comes from on high, places like the Bank for International Settlements, through things like the Basel, Basel II, for example, and the mark-to-market accounting change. And that was one of the things that Bruce Wiseman pointed out. He mentioned Alan Greenspan, loose money as the chairman, Community Reinvestment Act, the changes going back to 1994. And that was really a pretext to loose lending and, come forward to what I've talked about, where we saw people with 580 mid credit scores borrowing 100% financing on houses when they couldn't buy a new car. And, you add on top of that Glass-Steagall, like you said, in 99, and the waiver of capital requirements, too, in 2004. That was also a big one. And then Basel II, like I mentioned. And then, you have this, as soon as somebody sneezes and they have an asset class that everyone else has, like you said, the money supposedly disappears. What wasn't real anyway, but you have all of these people sucked into these funds, and everything is imaginary, basically, which is how $24.5 trillion evaporates overnight in 2008, and it's just ridiculous. It's utterly absurd.
Well, it reminds me of Enron, too. I mean, the problems of Enron still haven't been corrected to our satisfaction. I mean, in that case, they took all the money that people thought was a good investment and just shipped it all over to the Cayman Islands because they were able to make fake numbers on the total board. I mean, all the real money goes to the Cayman Islands, and then when the stock started to fall, they had this contractual agreement with the investors that they couldn't take their money out. So they watched the numbers fall, but it was all fiction. They'd taken all the cash out long before. No, none of that money was recovered. We know it went to the FBI, had an official FBI report telling us the account numbers in the Cayman Islands, the billions and billions of dollars that were stolen from people's pensions, but not a cent came back. You know, the company didn't even go bankrupt. And this idea of about a bank giving out a bad loan, this is really, a really central part of this fraud, too, is how people might wonder, how can a bank make money by giving out bad loans? A whole bunch of different ways they can do that, but one of the ones that was discovered by somebody, they called them ninja loans, where the bank would give out a loan to somebody who has no identification, no job, or nothing. Well, they just simply put the money in their own pocket. You can't trace it. They say, well, we wanted to help the poor people that they put, they obviously have stole the money. They're already thieves. We know that. So they're just going to pocket the
ninja,
cash.
For folks that might wonder that ninja stands for no income. It was NINA, no income, no asset, or no income, no job, and you put those last two together, no income, no asset, and job, so it's no income, no job, or asset, or ninja.
But they'd always play it. They go, well, we just tried to help out the poor and destitute, but now you stole the cash, because we have other instances. There are several websites, and I can't remember neither of their names right now, but there's websites out there that document places in San Francisco where tool sheds were selling for $700,000. No windows. It's just a tool shed. $700,000, and the bank's going to lend the money to John Q. Public or whatever, or to anybody to buy this big mansion. And then if the guy misses one payment, as he's most expected to, they're going to foreclose on that mansion. And again, they don't cover the loan, so they get to foreclose on a $50 billion mansion. They don't put down a penny, and all of a sudden they own it now. Oh, we're going to take the loss. Now we got to sell this big $50 billion mansion, and they didn't put a penny down to begin with. I mean, the fraud is very naked and flagrant, and people psychologically, I think, is our biggest hurdle here. They just can't deal with that reality. They can't believe that we live in such a deceptive society where we're all being ripped like this because we don't have the intellectual skills of the great Iraqis. Prior to the bombing, of course, now it's a mess. But, back then, they just said, hey, the depositor is the shareholder. We don't need no Goldman Sachs. We don't need no Goldman Sachs.
Hold on. We're going to break. Folks, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Final segment of tonight's broadcast. I remember way back when, back in the old days, when I still worked for companies that no longer exist, literally, and these were big, you know, billion-dollar organizations. One of them was acquired by HSBC, and it no longer exists. But we started watching some of the sites, like one of them is called ML-implode.com. It's the Mortgage Lender Implode-O-Meter. It's kind of interesting. I'll throw that in the archives. But they started tracking in 2006, and so far they say 383 major U.S. lending operations have imploded. And I remember when the first one started happening, and then, like I said, you know, when the ground literally started crumbling beneath my own feet, and I was already running around telling people for a while things were going to go this way, and it was going to be because of regulations and things, not because of rates, and that all came true. But it's still very disconcerting. So anyway, John, do you have anything else?
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the thing that I can't make heads or tails of. You know, we got, I guess it's nearing 400 banks have gone broke, and mm-hmm. all a bank does is take our money. You know, they don't have any expenses outside of electricity, the hiring a single teller, and the maybe a repairman for the ATM machine. No, I think the government takes care of that. You know, the government covers the cost of the ATM machine and the repairs too, probably. You know, they have so very little expenses, and they clear, in Canada, our banks clear more than $10 billion each quarter, and we're a tenth the size of America. You know, where did all the cash go? They're stealing all our cash, you know, and this is the thing, is we don't have leadership to go. September 18, 2008, that's when Bernanke and Paulson and the boys there said, we have to give them trillions of dollars. We have to bail them out because the country will be run into the ground come Monday morning. That's called extortion because the system doesn't work that way. They don't cover our loans, as I said. Plus, J.P. Morgan at that moment in history had more than $1 trillion in capital.
Right, and you know, like I said, I think one of the most interesting points about that, though, is that they there was this big huddle, you know, and I think it's interesting. Speaking of that, that Blankfein is named. He's one of the folks named in the suits filed. It's difficult not to imagine that he wouldn't be implicated, but I'll bet dollars to donuts he'll land on his feet and he won't go the way of Madoff.
Yeah, something's going to have to change. We got to reclaim our rights here to be treated equitably, and that's the direction we got to go. Staying the same as it is now with Obama's small change is not going to remedy our predicaments of huge victims all over. More than 1 million people have lost their homes already. More people down the lane are going to lose more pension money because they still haven't fixed the derivative issue. But
well, there is no fixing it. I thank you for your points, John. You make some great points, and it was a great call. And you bet.
Hey, gentlemen. I haven't talked to you in quite a while, I guess.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
It's another great month for battling evil, it is.
By the way, do you trust your government, sir?
Well, there's a lot of criminals in government, and we're missing leadership. I could believe in government if there was a leader there that said, we need evidence to form a guilty verdict, and torture warrants the death sentence, according to the great Ronald Reagan. And there's nobody to dispute that, because it stands as an indivisible property of our existence, that those who torture ourselves as victims are the true enemies here, and their excuses don't wash with the facts when we are allowed to speak freely in our own defenses. And that's what the Magna Carta and the Bill of Rights and everything's all about.
Agreed, and that would be basically, in modern times, George Bush and Barack Hussein.
Well, you know,
and all their team
watched,
of thugs.
I watched W.C. Fields' movie about yesterday or the day before. It's called The Bank Dick. And one of his finest performances, I hadn't seen it before, and in it, his friend owns a bank. And he's borrowing himself, I think it's $500, because he wants to buy some stock or something. And then the bank auditor comes, and he's terrified that he's going to be arrested for borrowing money to himself. Now understand, you know, this is that we suffer with these banksters because they're robbing us of our authority. It's not in our interest for them to lend us, for us to borrow money from them that they never cover, you know. When we borrow money from the banker, it doesn't come out of their pocket, but we pay them back for money that, you know, they didn't take the bite for.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It used to be
That's
one-tenth.
Right.
They'd only have to cover one-tenth.
then Chris Cox changed it to 1/20th because all the trillionaires said, hey, we want to even take even more from these suckers. Went to 1/20th, then 1/40th, 1/80th, and Bill Moyers on PBS several months ago covered that it's more than one out of it's less than one out of a hundredth of what they borrow you they even have to cover. And it's even worse than that, because with the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, now it's all funny money, eh? Like, this is with Bear Stearns. Bear Stearns went belly up with no money in the vaults. All the pension money is gone, but there's $77 trillion in derivatives. And the knowledge is what we lack. We, you know, CNN will never allow somebody on there to say, listen, the derivatives aren't backed by real capital. And when they trade these derivatives with themselves, they pay themselves commissions. And the commissions come out of your pension, policeman. You know, the police officers were criminally victimized, their pensions were, by Goldman Sachs, and yet nobody's demanding their formal arrest immediately. We want all this stolen money back. But
well, and then there's lawsuits acting like they're getting to the bottom of it, but there's nobody named in the lawsuits, which means it's all TV show, it's all smoke and mirrors, and there's no real accountability because no one's, quote, deemed guilty.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And people are fearful of taking those positions as a general joke because they just don't have the knowledge, and the TV's not there to educate us ever, because, you know, there's so many issues that are going unresolved as we fall further victims to the treachery of these shysters. You know, just think about it. All a bank does is take our money, you know. What expenses do they have? How is it that hundreds and I don't even know what the total is, probably over 1,000 now, all these banks have gone belly up. How is that possible? All they have for expenses are the salaries of the teller and the electricity for the ATM machine. And how can you go belly up? It's because they're committing all these frauds. And then the government says, well, we're going to buy back this toxic asset. Well, that's the evidence trail to these crimes of fraud that have cost, you know, policeman pensions. Like, can you imagine that? This Goldman Sachs told the cops and said, hey, we got a really great deal for you, AAA. Moody's even agrees it's AAA. Put your pension here. And at the same time, they're going to AIG saying, hey, we want you to take our bets. We say that this AAA is going to tank. And AIG say, well, it's AAA. I'll take your bet, sucker. You're going to lose here. And they won there, too.
Hold on.
And they're not being arrested. You're aware. SEC says, well, it might be a total of $1 billion. It's trillions and trillions of dollars that have been created.
I understand. Hold on, John. You've gone over something that's incredibly correct, but you've gone so fast most people missed it. So when you talk about these AIG bonds that are sold and insured that are triple rated and they say there's a bet, what happened is Goldman Sachs intentionally put less than stellar, in other words, subprime assets or loans into those large securities,
mm-hmm.
into those instruments. So they knew, not only did they, one, make a bet with AIG that, hey, that'd go sour, but they intentionally made them sour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a part that you cannot overlook. They intentionally knew and did this. That's why it's fraud.
Yeah. And then you were expected to pay back the losses that AIG can't cover, and you did again and again. Five times AIG was bailed out, and every single time that money went to private individuals who committed these extortions. And it's true extortion when the bankers told the American sucker, "You better give us this bailout, or the economy is going to tank." Well, it doesn't work that way, and you know, like, it's so difficult to express these things because it's not an easy subject to grasp. But know that CNN is going to put in zero time. They're not going to, well, you know, except for now, I guess they're going to minimally put a few words in, but we have the technology, we have the minds on this planet to express how these crimes have led us into this hell.
Well, yeah, one person can think them up and create them, another person can expose them and tank them.
Yeah, well, we got to get our cash back. You know, Frontline did another thing on the hedge fund brokers clearing more than $1 trillion apiece, and I can't do that. They have a special license in the market to nickel and doom everything to death, and I can't do that.
Yes,
they
sir.
Get to do it. And in Canada, we got like five or six guys that get to do it, two special licenses.
Oh, yes? So,
and
you have to have special licenses.
Cash, trillions of dollars. They provide no good or service. They don't help out a single soul on this planet. And Frontline goes and interviews the guy who's living in something like a 50,000-square-foot Italian marble mansion covered in gold with servants.
All right. Hey, we're flat out of time, John. Thanks so much. His points are well taken. He's right, but you got to have a license these days to fraud people, folks. You got to be specially privileged. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable.
What's on your mind tonight, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Why did I call? Oh, yeah. Have you seen this video that's sort of going around called Evil Angry Teabagger assaults interviewer?
Evil, angry tea dagger assaults interviewer. Now I missed that one, and I'm all over YouTube lately, so now enlighten me, please.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, or not cool. Well, I don't know. You can look at it a whole bunch of different ways. I kind of look at, okay, so the guy's approaching the teabagger, and the teabagger is pretty angry because he says he wants to kill all socialists. And Obama's a socialist, the communist, because he wants to give him health care.
Oh, God.
And the interviewer is very polite. He's not, in fact, the interviewer says almost nothing, but this guy just gets more angrier and angrier and angrier. And then the guy says to him, well, I suppose, because he just finished his saying that the government shouldn't have any hand in health care, and he should be able to choose for himself. And he says, well, I guess you're opposed to the VA. And I swear, the guy all of a sudden just sort of salutes the sky and says, Horia, Horia. And it threatens to kill everybody. Because really, I think this is, if there is a God, it's kind of the nature of God, because he's just said he's going to kill anybody who supports government health care, and then he supports health care and salutes the sky saying, Horia. And then all of a sudden, of course, he realizes, I think he does in some way, or this is what gets him so angry at himself and the world, is that he's demanding he commit suicide or death to himself. The VA, of course, is a government program.
This should just be like the stupid American episode or version of Axiom Radio. I mean, I think that's what it is. It's just this guy's a moron. I think what he was basically doing when he was going, hoo-yah, hoo-yah, that's the, you know, the Marine kind of call,
yeah.
you know, the hoo-yah, hoo-yah.
Yeah, like that.
But maybe he's an ex-Marine. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I guess he just sounds like a nut.
Yeah, he's participated in the death squads of Guatemala or Nicaragua or something, as he was saying. So he's,
right.
And he says that's how he fought for the country, kidnapping nuns or raping nuns and killing priests and stuff. Yeah, he's a big hero. But it made me think, you know, a lot of things, interesting things about his position there.
Uh-huh.
One, Obama is doing exactly what the teabaggers ask. You know, Obama's not, there's no public option on the table. Unlike what Republicans afford themselves, as which we've talked about previously, Obama's putting into law by force that you as an American citizen have to pay a private insurance company. Well, that's not socialism. That's fascism. That's Nazism for sure. That's totalitarian idiocy. But it's not what Republicans give themselves. The Republicans and Ron Paul, they have a health care plan where no money goes to a private insurance company. See, they're smarter. They figure we're going to have the Canadian-like socialist system, where our money doesn't go into the pockets of billionaires who would rather see us die, because we want to do that for ourselves. And Ron Paul and the Republicans will never complain about the health care system that they afford themselves, but they won't give that to you. They'll tell you that that's the socialist, that's the communist, and really it's a more effective way of managing your resources. Now, it doesn't mean that the Canadian system... You know, we got problems everywhere. This healthcare industry is a multidimensional issue. You know, vaccines with mercury is poison, no matter which way you look at it, and it's causing horrific neurological brain damage. And that's not a good thing to be investing ourselves with, of course, as anybody who is concerned with our health would say. But these guys don't. You know, they're not interested in that. But anyway, this is a very interesting video, and he gets really violent, and he wants to kill the universe, and I think it's more himself, you know. But he's just terrified of people who do understand what they're talking about, because he doesn't really have any knowledge at all. He's just angry.
Did you hear about that teacher who went on that, it was to stop the teabaggers, and he went on this, like, a website, and he was on this pilgrimage to make the teabaggers look even worse than what they are. He claimed that they're all racist, and that they're anti-American, and that they're this, and that they're that. He made all these accusations. Well, he said one of his techniques and tactics were to be to go there and to kind of bring up all this stupid kind of fake ideology in a way to see how many people will attach to it and kind of like pick it up, you know, pick up the ball and start to run with it. Because he's convinced, you know, that they're all racist or whatever they are. It sounds almost like this guy's a plant, or maybe just, you know, a really uneducated, misinformed individual who's kind of grasped on to, you know, something what he thinks is real, and he's venting his anger. But, it's just funny. You see a lot of crazy people out there, and the media loves to run with it.
Yeah, well, they have really, the teabaggers have no, they have no principled position. Like, that's why it encompasses everybody that wants to join. It can be a racist or the David Dukes. You know, I had a debate with David Duke and just trounced him severely because he doesn't understand the issues. But anyway, David Duke can get in there. He is a teabagger because there's no, you know, with the suffragette movement, for example, they want women to vote. Or, you know, there's a group that doesn't want child slave labor. You know, they got no position but to say they're against big government. Big government isn't inherently a criminal offense or a bad thing. Inherently, it isn't. You know, big government can bring us more opportunities for fraud, but the teabaggers aren't protesting fraud or bankster extortion.
Right.
Because there's no real research.
Hold on one sec there. I'd love to finish up with this. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the fact that you said you debated David Duke.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear more about that, man. I'll let you finish up with this point you're making as well. Stay with me and stay with us, folks. This is Axiom Radio. We'll see you right back here after this message.
Someday, at least I hope and pray that I will. But today, I am still just a bill.
All right, we're back here on Axiom Radio. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this Monday, April the 26th, 2010 edition. I can't believe how fast April has gone by. March has gone by. February. Man, when you get cruising and you start to get up in the years, I'm approaching 40 fast. Time just goes by so quick. It's not fair. Oh, man, how do you slow this stuff down? All right, we're talking with John in Canada, and he was mentioning a YouTube video he came across where a teabagger was just basically all over the map. He didn't know where up is and where down is, and he's all over the place and can't figure out what's going on. Wants to take people out or a socialist and ruining the country and doesn't even realize that he's advocating something that he probably participated in himself and advocates, and he doesn't know what the heck is going on here. But that's it seems to be par for the course here in America, where a lot of people just seem to be confused as hell. And it's through bad information, bad food, bad. And when you have a president as dumb as Bush for 8 years, I think it really lowers the general IQ of the nation as a whole. But also, John mentioned that they debated David Duke. So you can either finish up your point or let us know a little bit more about that debate, John, because I'm definitely interested. How did this take place? Was Duke on like a radio program or something when you got the ability to call in and confront him or question him?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it was. But I just want to, you brought up a really important point there regarding this altercation with the teabagger. He did admit he was a soldier and he wanted to kill people because they were socialists, you know, children included, anybody and everybody. He wants to kill us all. So he is a victim to the illiterate control of the television that provides no science and doesn't like intelligent people speaking freely. But the most profound thing a teabagger doesn't understand is that with Medicare and Medicaid and all the other health care provisions that are provided by the government, you, as compared to a Canadian, as reported in our Globe and Mail newspaper numerous times over the last several decades, is that when you add up all the money that Americans are taxed, you know, you have no choice. This is the tax. The government comes to you and says, we got to tax you for health care. This money we're taxing you is going to health care. You have no choice. You're already paying twice as much per capita. So per capita means you divide it amongst the entire population. How much money's come out of an American paycheck is twice as much as comes out of Canadians. Now, Canadians, we get our so-called universal coverage. It's imperfect. There's problems, okay? But we do have universal coverage, and I'm not billed any extra money when I have to see a doctor. I had a doctor come for a home visit for my mother, incidentally, just a couple days ago, and there's no charge. You know, doctor comes to the house, checks out my mom, gives her a prescription, there's no problem. You know, this is a great, miraculous thing, and it has nothing to do with how much money we have. It's just a service that all Canadians provide for ourselves. And in the United States, if all this massive criminal fraud, you know, too, in Medicaid and Medicare, that practically goes completely unaddressed, as reported on 60 Minutes, there's all these thieves walking away with millions of dollars, and almost none of them get arrested.
Right, there's no the debate's completely skewed. It's like people aren't really talking about the real issues. It's like the whole situation with, you know, with Bears and Stearns and Lynch and Lehman Brothers and AIG, all of them, Goldman Sachs. No one's talking about the real nature of the problem here, the systemic fraud that's going on, and they're all guilty of committing this fraud. I mean, literally, lying to the public, lying to investors, knowing exactly what they're creating here, and then profiting on both sides of it. no one really brought it up. It took that guy William Black in front of a Senate Finance Committee just recently to say, listen, I've listened to 3 hours of testimony. You guys still haven't brought up the real nature of the problem. The real nature of the problem is that these people knew this was going on 10 years ago. And we knew about this in the 90s, and no one did anything about it. The only organizations that have the ability, the unique ability to go after these people, sat on their hands and did absolutely nothing. You know, right there, you can figure out right there who's responsible, where the problem lies, who to go after, where the corrections need to be made. And they still just kind of obfuscate, kind of confuse people and take it in a new direction. And shouldn't we be talking about the actual problem at hand instead of making it this big, broad generalization? Because people just don't understand really how simple it is. And it's not that difficult to understand that these organizations were engaging in fraud, and that organizations like the SEC and the Federal Reserve let them get away with it. They were totally aware that it was happening and did nothing about it.
Yeah, well, with banking, I think it's just a failure, the failures of consciousness to the nature of currency to the marketplace. Again, it's not taught in schools barely at all. Like, regressive systems are just, it's a forbidden subject, like horizontal gene transfer. It's forbidden at all our universities because they're funded by Monsanto, and if you understood that science, you'd know that Monsanto is incorrect, and what they're doing is threatening our species with risks that they put on ourselves. But it's a difficult subject. I don't really want to get into it. But yeah, like you say, although it's not forbidden knowledge, Kucinich, in respect to healthcare, in congressional testimony and evidence and everything confronting these liars in Congress, showing there's no big waiting lists for Canadian healthcare, although you'll keep continually hearing that, and the teabaggers will say, all Canadians have to come to America to get healthcare service. It's just a lie. We have a couple of instances out of the millions of people that do get all your media coverage, which are almost always lies. In on top of that, where a woman says, I had a brain cancer and they wouldn't treat me, so I had to go to the Mayo Clinic, and I had to spend more than $200,000, but I got fixed up right, and it turned out she had a cyst. You know, they charged her more than $200,000 to remove a cyst. But with Kucinich, she's actually said these things in Congress, and CNN didn't think it was important to get to the facts. Instead, they'll get a guy like, what was that guy? I forgot the congressman's name, but he'll come on there and say that, Canadians can't have to wait weeks to see a doctor, in fact. Huckabee
right.
On CNN says,
right,
we have to wait weeks to see a doctor. I had a doctor come here in the space of 2 hours to our door.
They
gave
that.
Like,
they gave that shill his own
show.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but they gave that shill his own show on Fox News. Hey, listen, we're running out of time here. We only got a few more minutes, and I'd love to hear about your little rendezvous with David Duke. Set that up for us. How'd that go?
Yeah. Well, usually people find these kind of arguments kind of disturbing for myself because I got answers that come really fast and they're really simple and they're not that complicated, and that's what freaks people out, because these issues we've been struggling with for a very long time, and the issue is answered if you kind of understand the history of Israel and this. But David, I'll try to boil it down real quick. You know, David Duke will say Jews are bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can look at what Israel does and Jews support it, so ergo, that's what a Jew is. They want to firebomb children with life. I'll tell them that Jews don't, and I'll tell them that, you know, the Jewish scripture teaches that from Hillel, the founder of the religion, that to be Jewish is very simple. You just treat another person as you would wish to treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to David Duke, you know, a person who steals another person's home is not a Jewish person. That's a thief. That's
right.
A person who's undermining the belief of what it means to be a true Jew. And you go, no, that's what a Jew is. No. The King of Jews is Christ ourselves, if we believe, you know, if you're a Christian or whatever. You know, Christ, of course, as many people might not be aware, considered himself to be a Jew, and they called him the King of Jews.
Right.
It's a very simple thing, and it just destroys his whole platform of a blind ideology to express hate against an entire religion instead of and ethnicity too, of which I would bring forward in his falsehoods regarding the ethnicity of being Jewish, following the Dead Sea Scrolls, where we talk about, or where it's articulated that at that time, just like today, you know, it's always been this battle, Hammurabi, the days of Hammurabi are now, but, you know, in the Code of Hammurabi, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they talk about how this organization in Israel who claims to be Jewish are nothing of the sort. They treat everybody for victimhood so they can profit to become extremely wealthy, and they're the upper class, and all these other people aren't considered worthy. And the lost tribes of Israel went to Ethiopia. Now, if you go to the history of Ethiopia today, they have this ancient, the most ancient Jewish people on the face of our earth live in Ethiopia, and guess what? They're all black. And they all practice all the Jewish tenets of the religion, and they're all black. And yet, the state of Israel supported apartheid to the very end, demanding that black people not be allowed the freedoms to live in a just society and need to be mistreated. And
so,
yet, that's who the Jews are.
So your basic argument was, well, these aren't Jewish people. These are just racist. These are just intolerant criminals. So, and I have to agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And I, unfortunately, we're out of time here, John. But, man, great points tonight, man. Thank you so much for sharing. I really do appreciate it.
All right, Russ, we'll talk again.
Yeah, nobody pays any attention to the facts that are like, you know,
okay, Rand,
waving red flags.
Rand, it wasn't just after 9/11. Remember, just before 9/11, the FBI had started rolling up the largest spy ring ever found in the United States of America. They were working for Israel. They had bugged police communications. They were feeding information to Israeli drug dealers to avoid the raids. They had penetrated Converse Infosys, and Amdocs were completely penetrated. They were tracking Americans' phone calls through those systems. Odigo was getting...
You just mentioned was brought to us on Fox News by Brett Humes.
No, by Carl Cameron.
Well,
and then as soon as they announced, as soon as Carl Cameron did that four-part news story,
right.
AIPAC lobbies Fox to yank it from their website and their archives,
exactly.
And Fox News did. And this is before AIPAC was exposed in Israel.
See, that right there should be front-page news. You know,
that is on my website.
News. Those are facts that should be news, and it's not. You know, those are the stories that get swept under the rug, and we get fed this line of, you know what?
Yeah, I know what. Okay. Anyway, we're at the end of the segment. I got to let you go here. We got callers piling up on the line here, and thank you very much for the phone call, Rand. We're going to take a break for some commercials. We're going to be coming on back talking with John in Canada about immigration. Then I want to talk about this kerfuffle that has erupted over South Park. And my conclusion that Comedy Channel as a whole and The Daily Show have been played and may have been too stupid to realize it. We'll be right back. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike, just about everything you're talking about. You know, just by, as your previous caller said, so much of this information that we are well aware of should be on the news, but it's not. You know, these questions could be answered. We desperately struggle, but we know that many of these multinational news agencies, CNN and CBC, just simply won't show an innocent person having their home stolen by
mm-hmm.
Israelis. You know, if we all saw that, 99.99999% of us would go, that's wrong. That's an innocent person you're stealing that house from. So they don't want to give us that info.
Well, that's why their audience is in decline and why the blogosphere and alternative media, we're gaining them. I mean, you know, we got this new server here at What Really Happened only about a few months ago, and it's already maxing out. We're having times now where it's getting swamped again. We're already looking at having to go to a cluster.
Excellent.
And,
excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well, I got to pay for it somehow. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to have to like take some white people and smuggle them into Mexico to pick the watermelons in order to make the money for the new server cluster.
Yeah, I had seen on PBS about a year and a half ago with Bill Moyers. I can't remember the exact details. Like, I don't remember the branch of the federal government they go to, but I think it's through ICE, where multinational corporations can move their manufacturing plants to the United States of America with a special license, where they import workers from Mexico or India or wherever,
mm-hmm.
and they live on-site in the United States of America, but they only have to pay them 50 cents a day, and they live in, like, closets. You know, as the previous caller said, you know, we're not defending people's rights here. I mean, that should be criminal, but they get special rights. That's not illegal workers. That's okay. They did a special deal with us.
They have a special dispensation. You know, we threw a little extra money in the plate on Sunday, and the bishop says that we get, you know, a dispensation. You can go out and commit this sin with impunity for whatever. Yeah, it really is kind of a mess, and they create these little zones within the United States where they are effectively saying U.S. law does not apply in here. One of the places where this is really abused are the Native American reservations. reservations all across the United States, where corporations will go in, and because they're considered nations within nations, a lot of times U.S. law will not apply. That's why you can go to the Native American reservations. They got the best fireworks. They sell cigarettes without the tax stamp on there. They have gambling casinos. There was a big scandal many, many years ago on the Cabazon Indian Reservation down towards San Diego, where Wackenhut was building weapons on the Indian reservation, and really nasty stuff that normally would have been heavily licensed and taxed on regular U.S. soil or outright banned. They were making gas weapons and third-generation night vision scopes and all kinds of stuff like that. And it was a big, ugly scandal, and the Cabazon Indians weren't happy about it. And, you know, if you ever get a chance to see the story of Leonard Peltier, there's a documentary, Incident at Oglala, that was produced by Robert Redford. And it was actually a fictional dramatization called Thunderhearts, starring Val Kilmer. It's the only movie Val Kilmer ever did that I really, really liked. And those are definitely worth picking up from Netflix. But yeah, you know, we're all told that law is fixed and absolute, and we all have to follow the rules. And we look around, we see there are special classes of people to whom the laws don't apply. You know, like anybody who's a friend of the SEC can rip people off, and, you know, the SEC will sit there and watch porn sites and everything and not pay attention. Native American reservations get one set of rules. These special little economic zones, you know, where these foreign nationals come in. And part of it is because the U.S. government has borrowed so much money and placed so much U.S. land as collateral that these foreign countries are coming in and saying, well, we're going to collect on the collateral, and we're going to take over Grand Canyon and start running it as a for-profit business. And we're going to take this block of land, and we're going to put factories on there, and you're not allowed to tax us because this land really doesn't belong to you anymore because you've defaulted on this or that loan. And it's a complex interest, but our country is being sold out from under us piece by piece by piece.
Oh, for sure. The public's interest isn't being defended at all. SEC,
absolutely,
they were talking
not
about the salaries. They're exceeding that of the vice president. You know, you're watching porno for your whole workday, and you're getting a salary exceeding that of the vice president. It's crazy. And another thing with the Indian reserves, they also have provisions where they'll do deals with multinational corporations to dump radioactive toxic waste. And 60 Minutes, a number of years ago, did a special on this where they showed an actual mountain of radioactive toxic waste in the United States of America, and every other state it would warrant, like, life-term prison sentences, major, major fines. But because it's on an Indian reserve, hey, no problem. The laws don't apply here, and they showed, like,
a lot of toxic dumping out there. A lot of toxic dumping out there. A lot of illegal mining techniques. You know, a lot of it's a terrible, terrible situation. And you know, this is really not the wonderful nation that we've all been taught that it is. Our government does. And on top of all the talking about insult to injury, after all the abuse of the Native American reservations land, we have this other scandal going back to the Clinton years, where the Native American trust fund money has somehow disappeared. And when the Native Americans took the U.S. government to court to recover their money, there was a fire in the building with the records. And the U.S. government said, we don't know how much we owe you. Sorry.
The Indian Reserve, I forget the title at the federal government in Canada, the Department of Indian Affairs in Canada, a little while ago, somebody divided all the money they're spending with the amount of natives in Canada, and all of them should be having, I think it was something like $30,000 a year just in all the money that they're supposedly spending on Indian interest. And yet these
but you're forgetting those administrative costs.
Yeah,
those administrative costs.
And the guys that are running it aren't natives. They're all white guys.
Yeah.
You know, we're being robbed all over the place. We need action to defend ourselves equitably, and the national news media doesn't want to give us that power because they exploit our weaknesses and rob us with.
No, that's what they're paid to do. They're paid to stand there with their hair on fire and insist they don't smell any smoke. They're here to sell us things. They're here to sell us a new car and a new cream to put on our face and a new whatever to put on our body. And they're here to sell us our policies and our agendas and our presidents and our candidates. And like I said earlier in the show, their new task is to sell us the idea that immigration is the issue on which we should be deciding this coming election season. And because they're basically saying, don't worry about the economy. That's not important. Don't worry about the wars. That's not important. You will worry about immigration because that is the issue we have decided it should be important to you. And most Americans tend to go along with it, not as much as they did. Like I said, we're starting to see these very public negative reactions to candidates getting up and saying, I'm a bigger friend of Israel than you are. And the other guy says, no, you're not. You're a you know, and on and on. And that's just getting a very general negative response now.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're going to lose on this because there's a lot of angles that aren't being addressed but are easily exposed. You know, Arizona has a private prison system that lobbies the government to incarcerate more individuals, of which when they...
Hawaii sends our prisoners to Arizona. We don't have enough room for prisons around here. We've got county lockup and everything, but we don't have a major state penitentiary. We contract with Arizona.
Yeah, well, they're making lots of money in incarcerating people, and their arguments are, well, you know, they're selling, or maybe they're arguing, some are, but they're selling drugs. Well, the soldiers admit that they're assisting in heroin production, and there's documentaries showing the heroin going from Afghanistan into Canada and then down into the States, where in some cases it's a felony, a third strike conviction, and people are going to prison for life-term sentences, courtesy from the American government and the American soldier that is playing a part in this. And we want to stop illegal aliens from selling drugs, too, but... I don't know, man. These are complicated issues, complicated times, but I think when we see innocent people being victimized, as is happening in Arizona just prior to this provision of law on Friday, they had arrested people that were natural-born citizens and his father who had arrived in America decades ago, but they get arrested because they look Mexican and you didn't have your papers. So, you know...
I don't want to get into that whole profiling thing. The bottom line is... How, you know, short of like putting a license plate on somebody's head, how are you going to determine who's a legal citizen and who isn't? I'm in agreement with those who say that any employer caught, hiring an illegal alien ought to lose his business license, ought to be shut down completely.
Yeah.
If you make the penalty of employing illegal aliens so great that nobody dares take the chance, the problem is immediately solved.
Yeah. And I'm also fearful, though, that many of the police officers are soldiers who were recruited from third world military dictatorships to become American citizens to join the fight, and they don't have the minds for, you know, to make much of any kind of good critical thought processes.
Well, we've got that problem.
Guilt or innocence.
We've got that. Okay. We got to let you go here. The music is coming on. We're going to take a break for news and commercials. Yeah, we have that same problem with soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. They're there's so much stress on these people. Half of our, we've got more people killing themselves in Afghanistan than are dying at the hands of the Taliban. That's how bad it is. And then we bring these people back. We recruit them into the police departments. And then we wonder why the police departments are going slap happy with their tasers and their clubs and the rest of it.
Let's go to John in Canada. John, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Hey, did you see the video on YouTube called the Teabagger? What is it? Teabagger conservative assault interviewer? Have you seen that yet?
No, I don't think. There's been a bunch of these videos out as of late, but I don't think I've seen one titled that yet.
Okay, so it's very very brief to explain. He says he wants to kill all socialists that are like Obama. He's a commie, and then because the government can't get in the way of our healthcare services, although he's a complete illiterate, unfortunately. But the interviewer just asks him very politely. He goes, "Well, I guess you're not in support of the VA," and all of a sudden he goes into soldier mode and I swear I'm not exaggerating here at all. He starts saluting the sky, going "Hoya, hoya," and then he goes nuts because he says, "I love the VA." But the guy doesn't say anything. So he's conflicted. He knows he wants to kill people who support Obama, and yet he supports it himself. And when you look at Obama and his position on healthcare, he is doing everything the teabaggers are asking. He is mandating by law that you as the American sucker will pay private insurance companies. That's not socialism. There's no country in the history of our world that has been attributed to as a socialist or a Marxist philosophy. That's fascism. That's paying a corporation by law or you go to prison. Socialism in every other developed country as it pertains to healthcare is no insurance company. Why do you need an insurance company there? And interestingly, Ron Paul and the Republicans, what they cut the middlemen out entirely. They don't, for their healthcare services, they have no insurance company. They have a private, a private account for themselves. They're a private slush fund for healthcare services, and they get the best services in the world. So Ron Paul and the Republicans will say no to socialism, no to effectively managing your healthcare insurance dollars, but not for themselves. They're not going to stupidly give 70% of their investment to a billionaire who only cares to see you die. You know, so the video is really remarkable because he just goes psycho. The guy goes nuts because he's confronted with the truth of which he's never been provided on the Magic TV or by Sarah Palin. And these are documented scientific mathematical constructs that exist. You know, like in Canada, we pay half as much as you guys do. And despite all the propaganda, I can see a doctor almost immediately. I just walk into the doctor's office and you can see him right away. Everything's covered. I don't have to pay anything. You know, and that's what you guys don't believe or can't fathom as a reality, where I'm paying half as much, you're paying twice as much as me, and yet you get really almost no coverage unless you're elderly or you're very poor, and you're expected to go out and buy private insurance now. And America is the only country that does that, where you got these insurance guys paying bribes to Republicans to not get them out of the game. And yet, think about that. The Republicans don't do it for themselves, and they don't. Ron Paul never says, I don't want this socialist system for myself. He'll take it for himself and his kids, because he's gonna save a ton of money, and they're gonna get the best healthcare service as possible. But not for you, as a sucker. He's not gonna mention it, nor are any of these Republicans. So it doesn't disturb me. I don't see why people who call themselves teabags would be so upset about this. They should be going, "Wow, what a revelation! You mean we could better effectively manage ourselves if we pay attention to where the dollars are coming and going?" And yeah, of course we can.
Well,
but the TV's not giving us the numbers.
It comes down to the fact that they don't know what they believe, because all they believe are talking points that these people come out and spout out. And so one day it's, let's go kill brown people. The next day is that the health insurance thing is bad.
And just circulate through the crowd. Are you aware of these sites? Do you want to know what's really going on? Hand them one of these papers. Print up 1,000. Walk through the crowd and distribute them. Great idea, Quince. Spectacular idea. Thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, Alan. Bye-bye.
Great call from Quince in Pennsylvania, regular caller. All right, let's go. Let's go up to Winnipeg. John, you're on the air with Alan Tsang.
Hi, Alan. Yeah.
Hi.
Michael, too, can compel me to call up. You know, a thing that we can look at is actors. You know, there's a lot of great movie actors, and their performances are very real. We can become emotionally a part of a production, and yet we know they're actors who've got a script, but they're extremely convincing, you know, and they pull on our heartstrings, and they know which levers to pull too. You know, we got to look at the fact that prior to the bailout for the bankers, there was some polls. I can't remember what the numbers are, but it's like 99% of the people think it's a stupid idea, and we all send our messages to the congressmen and pass messages back and forth, but yet we're always the outsiders, you know? Yeah, you guys don't know what you're talking about. We could be like 99.999% of the human populace. So they have a very serious game they're playing against our interests. They can say they're championing the Constitution, but they won't allow evidence to form our guilty verdicts. They'll capture our faith or steal our faith, as Bush did when he told us he was a Christian battling evil, but he closed 9/11 investigations immediately. Well, that wouldn't be a very Christian thing, but Fox News would never let us know that. And particularly with the lead up to the Iraq War, there is so much evidence, as you are well aware, that implicates the Bush administration for treasonous behaviors. You know, they doctored the National Intelligence Estimate, for example, on what the CIA actually, and the CIA and every other intelligence agency, what they actually thought about the chances of Saddam having WMDs. It was nil. But they doctored those documents. They conned Congress. They conned the soldiers, while all the time knowing a person like Glenn Beck, who gets his big shows on the big channels, he wasn't going to be there to defend you. He'll say he's there to defend you, but he's not going to let the truth prevail. He's going to, you know, he's going to smile at you and say, "Oh, we got to, you know, he's not there for us." And a lot of people would send emails to these people. You know, anybody I talk to about the bank bailout, they go, "God, these guys are criminals." I can't get into an argument with anybody ever. As soon as the people understand what the truth is, they know we're being hoodwinked. We're being scammed.
Brilliant points, John in Winnipeg. So true, yes, John. They have the power to persuade us because they have these brilliant performers who know how to manipulate emotion. Quite true. This is what the problem is. But they can't change the facts because 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
John, thanks for your call.
All right, thanks.
Great call from John in Winnipeg. As always, we'll take a break. We'll do some business and be back with much more in a moment. Stay with me. Hey, go to the guests and books section, and don't be surprised
by the change in appearance on the website. You know, I have not even glanced at the email today, to be quite honest with you. I have got so much to say. Just absolutely full of it today, am I not? And we're going to make a little room for John here. He's up in Canada, eh? You want to talk about torture, John? What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, sorry there, Richard. Yeah, torture, yeah. You know, I've been listening to what people have been saying, and, boy, it's pretty freaky. You know, Obama said last Thursday as Oberman? No.
Keith Oberman, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Keith Oberman had quoted him. Here's what Obama stated, quote, "Nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past," unquote. And that's what justice is. I mean, you have to lay blame for the past to defend their next innocent victims. And torture is illegal because you're not going after any bad guys. That's why Reagan stated in the War Crimes Act it warrants a death sentence, because you're undermining our will to hunt down those who are truly responsible. And as you might be aware, there was a report that came out regarding the Predator strikes, and they've had more than 701 kills since 2004, and of those 701, only 14 have been acknowledged by whatever evidence there is, and they're not offering nothing, but the story did state that there were 14 of those 701 kills were alleged to be Al-Qaeda. But what's your evidence? If you've got evidence against somebody, bring forward that charge and tell us how you come to conclude this person is guilty of a criminal offense. Because if you go on YouTube, you can watch them kill all kinds of people. If a guy's carrying a gun, suspecting to carry a gun, he throws his gun away, one of the big popular videos on YouTube. They kill him for that. And there's just some guy in the middle of a war zone trying to.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. Let's dial it down a little bit here. For one thing, I can tell you this. When the International Red Cross goes and talks to these people and finds out what big bad ogres America is, they're always only talking to the prisoners. And there's not a single prisoner, you know, at Guantanamo Bay or anywhere else who's ever guilty of anything, you know? You ask these guys and say, what's going on? Oh, no, nothing. I'm completely innocent and I'm But when it comes down to laying blame for the past, so to speak, I'll tell you exactly why the Obama administration has decided not to pursue this. A, I think that cooler heads are prevailing and they're saying looking backward and trying to force all this stuff through is a bad idea because, as much as you don't want to admit it, John, we got an immense amount of information out of these guys. We got an immense amount of information out of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. We got an immense amount of information out of Zubaydah. And guess what? Aside from the documents that were released by the Obama administration, there's a whole bunch more documents that will never be released by any administration that spells out exactly what we got out of these guys and how we went about thwarting these very incidences that they talked about from taking place. Number two, they also realize that there's really no way on God's green earth that they're ever going to be able to get these guys convicted. They can put them out there, and unless they get a friendly judge who decides that he wants to make a name for himself and put these guys away, and then it's going to get appealed, and it's going to get appealed again, and it's going to end up in front of the Supreme Court, and the overall ruling is going to be, wait a minute, if the Attorney General of the United States wrote an opinion that this was legal, then there's no point in trying to convict these guys because they're going to walk. You're basically making a constitutional decision at that point about whether or not these laws were legal, but your decision isn't being made until well after the fact, and you can't prosecute somebody for a law that you're deciding or making today. So why waste the time and the energy is what it comes down to.
Oh, well, thankfully, I have a moment to respond. Justice is reason. If you have no way to formulate your allegation, the individual is innocent. We know that Bush closed investigations immediately, according to Senator Daschle and the FBI. Why don't you support the arrest of General Ahmad? It's a coward who says to soldiers, no, go in faith, blind faith. Don't form your own mind. Do it in a religious position as Obama, your new deity. Instead, you should be demanding to form your mind with the facts that are freely available, such as liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water. Ask your guest today.
I will. Thank you, John. There we go. It always ends up with either banking or a September 11th conspiracy. Liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water. Yeah, didn't happen. That's part of the problem right there. Didn't happen.
Hi, guys. It's John here in Canada. Great topic.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Yeah, excellent. This is a top priority issue we got to resolve. And you know what we can do? It very simply. Overman quoted Obama last Thursday regarding this torture issue, and the quote was, quote, "Nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past," unquote. And really, that's what justice is. We need to hold people to account, and it's very important that every American and people of the world understand that under American standing law, torture is currently illegal, and warrants, if the person dies, it warrants a death sentence.
Yes.
If the person doesn't die, it's a life-term prison sentence. And why is that? Because it undermines justice. They're not following probable cause for terrorist events that occurred by looking for a crime scene leads at the real murder scene. Instead, they say, KSM did it. Well, how did he get, you know, we got all kinds of evidence indicating that he's got no connection, such as the FBI informing us that the thing was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad. See, this, and it takes courage. That's where, you know, the real freedom patriot warriors reside with the evidence, because it is scary. I mean, that's where the challenge resides, in being able to speak freely on behalf of the rights of the all individuals to support FBI officers' fine outstanding work indicating who financed this operation. Of course, this individual hasn't gone arrested. A friend of his was interviewed on the radio not too long ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, talking about how he's still alive and well, you know, partying it up in Pakistan. And soldiers are being undermined too. I mean, this is why it's illegal. You're circumventing our will to stop these transgressions from reoccurring. And as you said, these people are really despicable. I mean, we're not really getting a lot of what's going on, but there's also private mercenaries such as Khaki hired to sexually torture innocent people to death. We have soldiers. Mm-hmm. We have soldiers in Oregon. Coming across a torture facility, and there, if you just type Oregon soldiers and torture, you'll find it on the internet. A number of people have written about this, but they come across a torture facility with women and children. The place is covered in blood. The soldiers, thinking they were patriots, and maybe they were truly, arrested the torturers, freed the prisoners, and then were ordered by their commander to release their prisoners and give them back their torture victims, because this is an American facility. And it's understanding why torture is always illegal. The only people who support it are through the tyranny of censorship. If we can communicate openly, we'll all come to agree on this important issue. It's only people who don't allow open discourse on the facts that undermine our, you know, they undermine our want for justice and the escape of the true perpetrators, you know?
Okay,
lots of words, but thanks for taking my
call. Thank you.
I would also like to point out, you got it, brother, I don't think we have a voice either. There's not somebody that's come out of our generation, outside of maybe an Alex Jones, who really is only 36 years old, that has a true voice.
Yeah, definitely in the Gen X generation, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely, and we just don't have, you're right, we don't have that voice, we don't have that motivation. We were kind of told from a young age that our generation didn't matter, we were born to be slackers, and a lot of people adopted that attitude. You know, we keep tumbling into the perils of technology, not to say technology is bad inherently, it's not, it's a double-edged sword, it could be used to empower humanity like so many things, but also really rip it down as well. All right, let's go to John in Canada. John, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was hoping I could make a brief comment on how to wake up people about the New World Order, but I wanted to update you on that info that you were seeking. I think it was last Thursday. That was the day that Oberman was talking about torture and what Obama's comments were, and Obama's comments on Thursday were, quote, "Nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past."
Mm-hmm.
Quote,
yeah.
Just ridiculous. The story on Oregon soldiers discovering women and children being tortured at an American facility.
Yeah,
the story title is "Unnatural Acts, No Place for Mercy." And the Oregonian also did a series, or it originated with the Oregonian. But how to wake people up about the New World Order? Hey, I got this down at almost an arc here. You know, it depends on the person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll
be there. Yeah. So, firstly, for reporters. My strategy has always been is I tell them firstly, and I provide any evidence that they request, is that Bush closed 9/11 investigations immediately. Well, how are we going to nab anybody then? And I show them or get them to look at video of iron flowing from the towers like water. So that's a powerful thing for reporters. For police officers, I always mention General Lamed right off the bat. This guy, according to the FBI, do you want to serve justice's cause in America? Support the FBI's formal conclusion, because they're just following the evidence trail at the real murder, mass murder scene. And the alleged mastermind ringleader Muhammad Atta was financed by this guy. And then you got to test the waters. Can you go further or not? Because then you could say he's also at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11, and he also implemented the strategy with the Taliban, letting them know that no evidence would be brought against the accused. I mean, if our intel people or court officials, the top piece of info is Jim Mikuláševsky's anonymous. Top secret, presidential directive strategy, war strategy documents on how to get into Afghanistan, dated 2 days prior to 9/11. So they had the war strategy down as top secret material originating from Condoleezza Rice's office, reported on by MSNBC. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty powerful. And then he changed the story. Actually, if you go to their site now, it's changed a little bit. So if you get both versions, then you convince everybody in intel. If you can show them both versions, the first version that was there for the first 3 years, and then they changed it, and then they changed some words there, made it. But it's really a desperate call for help. Mm-hmm. This man has got the central war strategy. It's an act of treason at his desk. He's had it there for years, and we fail to communicate our outrage equally, because we got so many issues that divide us on all kinds of different planes, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to finally find that we do believe in common cause. You need evidence to form an allegation against somebody. If you have no evidence, the person's innocent. I mean, this is the Magna Carta. A free man shall not be put into prison. Period.
Unfortunately, with the passage of the Military Commissions Act, that really no longer holds true for you and me, because
right.
We can really, you know, which is disgusting. You know, we would expect the same courtesy, if you will, that we're making these accusations because the evidence points to these facts. We're showing evidence. We're saying, hey, here's the mainstream media accounts. Here are the FBI documents. Here are the videos which prove our point. And they go, nope, just doesn't exist. Or nope,
yeah.
Just doesn't matter. Or nope, we're outside the bounds of law. Meanwhile, they can say, I'm a terrorist. Say, we don't have to produce any documents whatsoever. Military Commissions Act. Go round them up, put them in a cage, and he can spend the rest of his life there.
We can get above them. We can get above them. There's a strategy. National. We can do
all right,
it.
All right, John, I believe we can do it, too. I thank you for the call. We're going to go to James in New York and others. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Hello, sir.
Hey, Alex. Good day to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, you got me motivated to pick up my phone and give you a shout. You know, the Free State Project and all those guys, we got to understand that this battle has been on forever. You know, Magna Carta, a free man shall not be put into prison. Hammurabi, if a person makes a false allegation, a capital allegation against another person and they have no evidence, they will be immediately executed. And Hammurabi founded our civilization because if we put our all our fears to the side, we understand that actually makes sense for everybody. Everybody would adhere to that principle because false accusers really get in our way and undermine justice for ourselves. Similarly, as is torture currently under American law, illegal and warrants the death sentence if the person dies, or a life term prison sentence if the person isn't tortured to death. Now, the reason that law is still standing is you can't argue against it. It's people, CNN will never educate the American masses on why that in fact it is illegal and why. Why is that? Because people who torture people undermine justice. They're not interested in pursuing the crime scene leads at the real murder scene. All these thousands and thousands of people have been tortured, many of them to death, sadistically, sexually, you know, they cut men's penises. They think that that's a fun thing to do because they sadistically enjoy this kind of pain inflicted against innocent others. They don't want to go after General Lamed, who financed 9/11. They don't talk about the liquefied iron flowing from the tower on video, like water. You know, and Bush closing investigations immediately. So this idea, well, we got to kind of get together and serve ourselves well. Is a very easy thing to do if we have the right leadership and we're able to speak it on a national level. Like, I fight to get on coast-to-coast radio. I have profound disagreements against George Norrie undermining justice for and freedom for every single American citizen by not allowing free, open discourse on these important matters of evidence
to form our conclusion. Instead, you know, he makes us swim in doubt and fear and undermines our pursuits. Like I say, what American soldier or American citizen would disagree with having Bush immediately arrested for high treason, being an accessory to mass murder in New York City by closing investigations? That's obstruction of justice. The FBI had not finished their task of nabbing all those who are responsible for the crimes. You know, and why did he close it? Well, we found out that it was financed by General Ahmad, his buddy, business partner, who was at the White House the same date and location when they were working on their invasion of Afghanistan strategy, top secretly, according to MSNBC's Jim Mikuláczewski. So they're working on their plan to invade Afghanistan 2 days prior to 9/11 with the general who, according to the FBI, financed the operation. And then after the terrorist strike went down where, you know, thousands of Americans were murdered, that general went to the Taliban to let them know no evidence is going to be brought against the accused, and you better defend him as Muslim fundamentalist until you know otherwise. Form your own mind. Don't go in faith that Bush is your deity. Believe in justice for all and demand evidence to form a conclusion or even a suspicion. But they deny us all these simple, or to me they seem extremely simple, and I know that when I communicate to other people, they usually understand what I'm saying. You know, you might find out, maybe that's not true, but, you know, you look it up and you find out that these things are correct. And we go, well, why can't we have justice? And I think it's just a national voice. You know, just somebody going, look, let's say it was on coast to coast. Anybody in America, soldier, citizen, or otherwise, thinks that I'm wrong on this conclusion that he needs to be immediately arrested for high treason. We want to nab the actual evildoers. Because you look, Alex, at what's going on in Afghanistan. They're saying they're killing the Taliban. Well, what is the Taliban? I mean, the government there is a Muslim fundamentalist government that just made it legal to rape women and to push heroin into our world and commit injustices against the populace there.
Now, can we pause? Hang on for a second.
Sure.
I want to read an article here that relates to that you said the whole thing about rape in Afghanistan. Just shows, you know, our intentions are not there to help women or anything like that. It's still the same with pluralism.
Yeah.
But let me read this article here from the Daily Tech by Jason Meek. Here's the headline. FBI surveillance unit caught watching teenage girls undress. The U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigations is equipped with expensive high-tech equipment designed to protect our nation's citizens, in most cases at least. In an embarrassing debacle, it has been revealed that two FBI police officers in Morgantown, West Virginia, tried to use such equipment to watch teenage girls undress. The two employees, Gary Sutton Jr., 40, and Charles Homama, worked at the FBI satellite control room at the mall. They had a play there called the Cinderella Project. So they were modeling prom dresses for charity. The pair allegedly used one of the building's built-in security cameras to zoom in on the makeshift dressing room, which had no ceiling. As the camera zoomed in closer and closer, several teenage girls entered the room, undressed and changed, and left. It's not known how the pair's actions were noticed, but once they were, there was little doubt who was to blame, and they were the only ones who had control of the camera. Interesting stuff there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. We have that's something particularly important to understand, that these guys are not being held to account. We have CIA officers. The reports are now plastered all over whatreallyhappened.com and other locations. Talking about the CIA, so-called the CIA, says, oh, torture is good because we were able to thwart some anti-terrorist activities. Example, Los Angeles, we were able to thwart this by torturing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed more than 239 times. And as a consequence, that terrorist act didn't go down. Well, the terrorist attack had been planned to go down in 2002. Well, they didn't arrest him until 2003. Like, I would send the military into the CIA. I would arrest everybody in the CIA. None of these people speak for the interest of defending the American people. They push dope. And with Cheney, he as confessed by one of his associates on CNN, he's running assassination squads. Not through the government, not through the military. It's a private thing for him. And we know that Tillman was murdered. Did he murder Tillman? Who did he murder? He admits to murdering people, his buddy. We want him arrested for that. You can't just go out and start your own private mercenary firm murdering who you don't like. You know, and he's admitted to this. It's on CNN. Again, the problem is we have no leadership. Alex Jones has a lot of positive things about him. Most definitely, he's getting the information out. He's not a leader, and he has tremendous faults. So instead of facing his faults, he won't push for national exposure. All he's got to do is encourage his listeners to call George and Ryan's him, and we speak openly on the evidence indicating who's truly responsible for 9/11, but he doesn't.
Just another little headline we'll go over briefly. No kidding, 1 in 3 children fear Earth apocalypse. Children aged 6 to 11 fear that Mother Earth would exist when they grow up, while more than half, 56%, worry the planet will be a blasted planet, something like that, or at least a very unpleasant place to live, according to a new survey. And maybe something will happen if we have some sort of a disaster. Maybe not an apocalypse or end of the world, but, you know, changes on the planet as we move into Sunspot 24 with a weakened magnetic field. But some of it could be the result of global warming propaganda. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to say, a change is coming. That we cannot proceed, we cannot continue this way without any leadership, you know. But people's egos get in the way. Like, you know, everybody calls themselves a patriot. You know, everybody a fan of Fox News, these Tea Parties. You know, I have to insult people to try to get us to motivate ourselves to understand that there are certain principles we all adhere to. Like I say, you got no evidence, the person's innocent. Yeah, but no. You know, I'm not saying like Hammurabi, we put these people to death. We have to just expose them through open public debate. You go, look, how do you form your conclusion then? They go in faith. They steal faith from God. They steal our religion.
Hey, John, do you know who started I need to know this, though. Do you know who started the Tea Parties, personally? Do you know who started it, what group started it?
No, well, I know Ron Paul, I believe. Ron Paul got it going, and then it just sort of got hijacked, right?
I don't know. I'm asking you. If someone knows, please call me.
Yeah, well, I believe.
Because I need to know this information because it looks completely co-opted, but I need to know who started it. And if it was Ron Paul, fine, but let's just get a couple callers to call in and get brave enough to pick up the phone and get off the internet and call and let us know and join this conversation about liberty. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, you know, and Ron Paul has a lot of positive things, too, and a lot of negative things. You know, he's not a sentinel sent down from the heavens to try to save our world. So there's a whole bunch of issues he just doesn't deal with, honestly, like 9/11. Maybe Al-Qaeda did it. We needed an investigation. We already know how it went down. We know that Bush closed investigations, and it was financed by General Matt. He's never mentioned that. He wants to go to a gold standard, which is ridiculous. We need accountability. The PEP funds, the woman who's the head cop, she's a cop, the top cop, the Congressional Oversight Panel chairwoman. She's been on TV numerous times. She was on Jon Stewart last week. She says, look, they're stealing. Well, this is the problem, is a lot of people don't have the courage or don't have the intellect or whatever, but she's saying that they're robbing you today. You're told you're buying a dollar's worth of stock from wherever, and you're only getting 60 cents worth. They're scamming you. And she didn't know that. She had to hire an independent auditor to come in and take a look at what kind of deals have been going down under her authority. She's the top cop. And she said on Jon Stewart and a number of other, Rachel Maddow and so on, that they're stealing the cash right now. Nobody's there to say anything. Ron Paul certainly isn't there. Ron Paul is just, you know, he's not, I'm not saying he's a bad man. He's not into torturing people or starting wars against
anyone. Exactly. He is the less of all the evils. He's the less of all the evils. That's the real less of all the evils that people wanted when they voted for Obama. And that's Ron Paul. He's the less of all the evils with some good stuff. Plus some good stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's not in a position to go into 9/11 and what the police state's really all about. He can just kind of hint at it and kind of give you those little eyebrow wings. New World Order, of course. But you need to take it specific, that's all.
Yeah, but I think I'm not saying it's that guy. I'm just saying that that's not enough. He was also cheated out of the Republican leadership role that he won. Remember, the ballots were fixed. We have the Boston Globe gave out the real numbers of where he was the victor. They took those numbers, doctored it, and look who has the courage. I remember a guy called up Alex Jones. He says, look, it was a guy in this one particular instance. He says, look, I'm fearful that you might be spreading disinfo because of the fact that Ron Paul won the Republican Party convention. And he's hung up on him, called him all kinds of terrible names, and they'd never call my show again. But that's just the evidence. Like, that's what evidence is. Like, we gotta let our egos get out of the way. You know, because people build up, oh, Ron Paul's going to save the world. Well, you know, he's got some good ideas, but he doesn't advance that the Iraq war is in a legal conflict. There was no reason to bomb the country. You could have just locked these soldiers in there without firing a shot or dropping a bomb, because Saddam was 100% cooperative. There was nothing that was asked of Saddam that he didn't comply with 110%. In fact, Saddam offered things that Bush wouldn't even take him up on, such as take our entire national media and say whatever you want 24 hours a day. You can have all our TV channels, all our radio stations. But Bush said, no, I don't want that. Because he didn't have true arguments to be made. He refused to take Saddam up on that offer. But all the WMDs were destroyed. The records of all those destructions were given to the Bush administration, to the UN, to the government of Germany, never mentioned on CNN, but the German government did make those documents available, and you can get them on the internet, some of them. And the thing was is that the weapons were destroyed, so you can't prove that, you know, gone because they're gone. You want to prove that they're less than ash, which was the anthrax. It was burned to less than ash. Prove that. Well, I could give you a vial of ash. What do you want? Like, it doesn't make sense. You know, we're trying to prove something that's not there. So that was the true argument that Bush kept making over and over again that was irrational. And plus, you could go anywhere you wanted without delay. Ron Paul will never mention those things. Ron Paul will call it a police action.
Okay, I know. But moving on from Ron Paul, I can't overthink something for more than 5 minutes, because I'm in terms of the greater scheme of things.
Right.
You know, we got to deal with our, yeah. So, yeah, I know. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I just figure, like it does get complicated when you get into these side issues, but I think everything can be reduced to really simple principles. You know, if you've got no evidence, the guy's innocent. Pursue the crime scene, leads at the real murder scene. These are things that everybody who supports McCain or Bush, they don't want that. They want Bush to be, or as Bush was, their deity. Bush does all their critical thinking for them. They don't have any challenges in front of themselves. They just obey obediently without questioning, without understanding their own opinions. And this is what Fox News sells. I mean, we want to be able to form our own minds. And people who don't have an opinion one way or the other, they're not going to get on a national radio program to disagree with anybody. And this is what I mean. You get on a national program, you go, any soldier who doesn't, who thinks we shouldn't pursue those who actually are responsible for 9/11 and go the blind way killing people on the brink of starvation in Afghanistan, phone up. These people will not phone, and if they do, they'll be exposed as stupid, practically, brain damaged individuals who are terrified of wiser men and women speaking freely. Like I say, like, we know who financed the thing. The guy is not arrested. His friend was interviewed a few months ago, saying he's alive and well, and they're, you know, he's not arrested. Of course not. You know, they throw it right in their face. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, we're torturing Oregon soldiers. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Alex. Oregon soldiers were interviewed in the Oregonian. There's a number of newspapers who've also done stories on this one particular issue where they come across a torture facility in Iraq where they're torturing children. They're torturing women. The place is covered in blood. So the soldiers with guns arrested.
All right, we have a break. We don't want to run over it this time. Let's smoothly go into the break. We'll be back in a few, everybody. All right, welcome back. We got another caller here, but Bristol's Bishop with John. John, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'll just make it quick. So, yeah, what we need is accountability, and the torture story from the Oregonian and Oregon soldiers have also been interviewed in other stories. One title is Unnatural Acts, No Place for Mercy. If you put that in quotes in Google, you'd be able to get a copy of it. And essentially, Oregon soldiers come across a torture facility torturing women and children. They arrest the torturers. They release the prisoners. And then orders come on high to release your prisoners and give them back their torture victims, because this is an American facility where you're torturing women and children for the pleasures of sadistic, demonic enemies of God and man. These are true enemies of everyone. We need accountability. We need open communications. We need to demand this. I can't do it myself. You, as the listener, have to make the effort to pick up your phone and get on.
No, I plan to totally go off tonight for 5 minutes against torture and Obama's whole. I'll probably do a preliminary rant later on today, and also I'm going to cover this story. Insane cop arrests ABC News reporter. I'm going to play that video tonight. It's all tied together. CIA claims torture prevented fake terror plot. Here's another one. Torture report reveals nothing new. So we're in a society where there's more rape, attacks on women, yet there's more torture, more war. It's all interrelated. And I also want to say there are more women out there that are starting to speak up, not just some of the girls out here on Oracle, like Cordy and AJ and some of the others, but you've got some other YouTube channels that are popping up. There's this one, sex does fail, I guess, even if it comes to the Patriot movement, but this woman's just totally gorgeous. And she's sitting here just laying down without freaking out how Obama works for the NWO. And it's pretty good, and I'm sure, you know, stuff like that's going to reach a lot of people when it comes from a woman as opposed to, you know, just men, you know.
Well, let's not forget the at least, last time I checked, at least 38 women who have been gang raped by KBR. Some of them have been murdered by KBR. These guys just openly rape American women, and the officers of whatever city they're living in do not have the courage to hunt them down. Withdraw a law. What's the laws on the books against raping women? 38 women complain. They're not being, their complaints are not being addressed. KBR. These are enemies of women, American women. We can't allow this to continue. But another day, you keep up your good work. Don't be discouraged. You're doing a fine, outstanding job from where I'm listening. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. And we're going to go another phone call here. And then we've got Mo, also in Oregon, calling in. The time is now. And now let's go to another caller from Ohio, HX. Hi.
Hey, yo, what's up, Alexander? Answering you, sexy beast, you.
All right, I'm just sitting here, just going over everything going on. What's up? What's up?
Right on, man. You sound good. Look, I wanted to give a call, and I know that there's been a lot of questions recently since the Tea Parties went down about who started what and when and who gets credit. The libertarians are taking credit. Everybody's taking credit, you know, for these protests and so forth. And, you know, the right wing's taking credit and everything. You know, it's just a big old mess. But I wanted to go ahead and call and set the record straight and lay the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground are that 9/11 Truth Committee in Boston and San Francisco started the Tea Party event back in 2006. That's the facts on the ground. And then after that, the Ron Paul campaign grassroots supporters picked it up, and then they ran with it for a little while, and then the modern incarnation, or you know, then the big thing that we recently heard about lately occurred. So before anybody anywhere came out with a Tea Party protest, 9/11 Truth was doing it first, and they're probably still doing it today. So I just wanted to set the record straight on that and let you know that I love your show. You're doing a great job, and I'll be listening.
Hey, John in Winnipeg. All right, we got somebody outside of the country. Go.
Hi, Eric.
I guess Homeland Security can actually listen in on me and not feel bad about it since it's a quote-unquote international call to a constitutional monarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, what's up?
I was listening to... you know, you were talking earlier, you were saying, you know, we look now that we understand history a little bit better and we see, you know, J.P. Morgan and the like... funding both sides of conflicts, watching everybody die to profit off our continuing sufferings.
Right, but you understand that's what went on in World War One with the Windsors, who were the Saxe-Gotha-Roxburgh, I think, or
yeah.
I forgot what the third name was. And the German royals, Habsburgs and others in Germany, who were fighting themselves intentionally, so that
yeah.
they could leapfrog technology, hold and control it themselves,
yeah.
and put. All of Europe under administrative control.
Yeah, well, we lose to this game all the time. You know, Israel broke the truce with Gaza and then said they would continually kill people until rockets stopped falling on their country. And yet they broke the truce. They wanted to instigate violence against innocent peoples.
Well, what was Germany doing? World War II?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this is a recurring predicament. And then there was, are you familiar with that? Charles Higham writing Trading with the Enemy in 1983? He went through all the evidence, and it's contained in his book, a New York Times bestseller. And what it did is it documented the American corporations that operated hand-in-hand with Nazi Germany to, for example, firebomb London. London could not be firebombed without the direct assistance of ITT, an American company, and other
right.
companies, too. But anyway, so my...
you heard recently about Chiquita Banana in, it was United Fruit or whatever, but to where they're, you know, paying United States, and people need to start taking a look at the School of the Americas.
Oh, yeah.
And what is now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation.
Okay.
That is training assassins to go after normal folk.
Yeah, actually, yeah, an actual terrorist recruit center. That's their monogram above the door almost, I think, probably.
Yeah.
They're just openly advocating terrorist activities against innocent civilian populace. But McCain supported bombing Afghanistan. Well, Bush closed investigations immediately. But here's my reason I'm calling. These same players, these same games we see today, J.P. Morgan. I learned this, CNBC covered this, but I went to their website and checked it out, you know, for myself or whatever. You know, J.P. Morgan Chase, whatever their relationship is, we were told they're together, but they're separate too because they got their own websites. But J.P. Morgan...
Well, you know, Chase, though, too, was started by Aaron Burr.
Okay.
Or was involved, you know, in starting it with the Bank of the Manhattan Company. But if you look at some of the other companies, like, and you look at the names, like John Thompson, Tommy Thompson. You know, do you remember him from the Department of Health and Human Services?
Well, he's
the guy who said he'd be chipped and never was.
Yeah, well, he's the guy who bailed out the casinos in Wisconsin. He says, we got to bail them out. And he gave them, $200-something million. This was years ago. This is about 10 or so years ago. But listen, J.P. Morgan, okay, here's the scam they're doing today. J.P. Morgan has more than $1 trillion in capital. They have a commercial banking branch. They're number one in commercial banking.
Even though they supposedly converted themselves from a commercial bank to a regular, you know, bank.
Yeah, but, well, they do a lot. They'll do whatever they can. But listen, here, this is a quote. Their annual revenue is generally ranging from $10 million to $2 billion. But their capital rate, how silly is that? But anyway, their capital exceeds $1 trillion currently. Why would you bail out a banker then? This crime is called extortion, by the way. But Obama's and these pirates in congressmen's suits are telling us that they had to bail these banks out so they could hopefully lend some of this money back to us at interest. They needed capital to create credit. Well, J.J. Morgan's had more than $1 trillion all throughout this whole crisis.
John,
people pay.
You understand you live in a constitutional monarchy, right?
Yeah, but they're scamming us right there. They're lying to us.
No, but hear me out on this. Because they really want the North American Union.
But who's they? It's us.
Well, the power brokers, the industrialists, Rockefellers, Morgans, you know. Anderson is another one. Anderson's tied to the Bank of Manhattan and also Hamilton. Hamilton's the one who started the revenue cutter Marine. Aaron Burr, you know, shot it out with Hamilton, killed him in a duel. But Aaron Burr was a member of Tammany Hall, which was the hub for the Democratic Republican Party. It was one party.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It stood against?
That sounds amazing.
Foreigners.
Yeah.
It stood against the royal foreign interests of these kingdoms, not just England, but also Germany. You know, Austria, Bavaria, Liechtenstein, Spain, Italy, and more.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not being held to account ever, and they're escaping our authority by us not understanding.
Well, that was my question to you. They want to, under their terms and under their, you know, imposition of whatever form of government, and they'll write the Constitution or whatever for us through a trade agreement or whatever, do you think it would be better for Canada and the United States and Mexico to come together under mutual terms, forget about the SPB and Bush, say screw that, screw NAFTA, whatever, come together on our own terms? Because at some point, if we don't, we are going to be at war with Europe. And I'm telling you, because they're doing things like the refueling tankers, moving the contract to Europe, moving the technology there, the Hadron Collider that is in Switzerland, it's in CERN. The one that was shut down in Texas that Bush was involved in shutting down to take that technology, and whether it actually creates a black hole and sucks the planet in, like, you know, some people are saying, or it opens up some kind of portal for, you know, time travel or whatever. But we're going to get enormous technology coming from that collider. We don't have it anymore. We don't have that technology. And we're sitting over here where they're playing games with the
United States and Canada, and not even Canada's like, we won't allow Americans to go up to Canada and to seek asylum from what's going on down here.
Yeah.
The, you know, Prime Minister, you know, your guy, who was it, Harper or whatever?
Yeah, Harper, yeah.
And even the guy before him, it was just before Harper, Paul Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, these guys are playing games, and there's people who want to, or have tried to, military and other people, to leave this country, go to Canada, and get the hell out of here because of how crazy it's getting, and they're being blocked.
Yeah, well,
from entry into Canada.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of questions you asked me there.
But the thing I was going to ask is, would it be better for us to come together?
Right.
And because I know there's a bunch of, they call them neoliberals in Canada, who are against the crown and against England and against Europe. They're under attack in Canada themselves. And, you know, they could be a bunch of neo-fascists or PNACers themselves.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what your opinion is, but at some point, you're our neighbor. And Canada's been a good neighbor to us for a very long time, and I would hope, you know, that you would think the same thing for us, you know, setting aside these crazies that have taken over our government.
Yeah. Well, I try to look at the world as a whole bunch of individuals. Everybody should have equal rights to be treated fairly, and as a consequence, hey, I'm going to win, and you'll win too. We all win. You know, this is what public consensus is. And as you're saying, can we get together on our own terms? We have to understand that that's the game that's always being played. Bush says it's our terms. You know, all these people say, well, it's with the public consensus that we have to bail out the banks. We've convinced ourselves it's the right thing to do. We've got our top lines on this. And this is the point. J.P. Morgan's got $1 trillion. Don't bail out anybody. It's extortion. They told us if we don't bail them out, the economy's going to crumble. No, they're proves this. They're lying.
They're doing it anyway. Hold on one second, again, real quick break. We'll be right back, let me finish off the show, close it out. This is In the Zone, Your Host, Senator Shine, Public Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back with John in Winnipeg. Our northern neighbor and friend. Hi, we're back, and our northern neighbor. And lest I say a subject to the Queen, John in Winnipeg, and I'm ribbing you a little bit, but, you know, because we're living under the same situation, even though we're in a republic, you know, just like here in the United States, we have republics and commonwealths and, but dare I say democracies or whatever, various forms of governance within the states that we're all married together and they all have their own ways. But what they're trying to do with us is the same thing now, the next level. And this is laid out in Philip Bobbitt's book, The Shield of Achilles, that I talked about quite a lot, to where they're moving us to the market state. And let me read this real quick while you're here.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard me talk about this before, but I've read his bio many times. I want to do it now. And I want to read part three, The Historic Consequences of the Long War. Thesis, the market state is superseding the nation state as a consequence of the end of the Long War. Long War was from 1914 to 1990, is their own definition. The end of the Long War has been quickly followed by the emergence of a new constitutional order. This new form is the market state, whereas the nation state, with its mass free public education, universal franchise, and social security policies, promised to guarantee the welfare of the nation. The market state promises instead to maximize the opportunity of the people. And listen to this carefully, and thus tends to privatize many state activities and to make voting and representative government less influential and more responsive to the market. The United States, a principal innovator in the development of the market state, must fashion its strategic policies with its fundamental constitutional change in mind.
Yeah, well,
and
I'll tell you.
This was put out in 2001, and this guy is so tied to the Walkers and the Davis family and the Royals and the Bushes that, you know, they're inseparable.
Mm-hmm. Well, firstly, you're asking the biggest questions of civilized man. Like, these questions are huge, and the answers, challenging. You know,
well, do you want to
Do you want to live in a country that swears allegiance to the crown, to the royal families?
Okay, well, I want to just step back one question, and then we can go to there.
Go ahead real quick, but we got only a couple minutes.
Okay, well, the Queen, firstly, to trade with China on an equal par basis, you're losing out competitively. It's just like competing with a store across the corner that has slave workers where they steal their body organs and beat them to get back to work. You know, you wouldn't allow that in your town. Why do we allow it to happen in China? Now we're saying, well, we got to send the military in there? No, they shouldn't be allowed to compete against an honorable man who runs a good business that helps our communities. So
the Constitution, our Constitution, and even your form of governance, because, you're independent, supposedly, but we saw what happened with Harper where they it all comes at a cost. It all comes at a cost.
It's like you said, we're living in the same struggles everybody is. You know, like for our country to send your soldier to prison because he refused a criminal order is the highest act of treason imaginable, and I've demanded Harper be charged for that criminal offense. The soldier only wanted to swear allegiance to the oath he gave to God and country to not openly commit a criminal offense. You cannot put that man in jail. You argue that he's lying. They can't argue that he's lying because what he's saying is the truth. You take an oath.
Yeah, he's a political prisoner.
Justice, the American way.
Faith from God, whether in the form of the earlier faith, Christian faith, the original faith that Moses brought, of course, as well, or the faith brought by Prophet Muhammad, they're all the same. Belief in the oneness of God and justice before humankind and do what to the other as you expect them to do to you. Before they do it to you is how we've got it now. John in Canada, continue on with this, line 5. How you doing?
Not too bad.
That's good.
The struggle continues. As most listeners of RBN, I think would concur, we all want justice, but we get divided sometimes on our own because the world can be confusing, and then at other times people work directly to keep us divided. The last thing evil or criminals want is us to form common cause.
Definitely.
And there's all kinds of different ways of going about that. And I look at our struggle, justice, for ourselves as just a police investigator would. And there are certain aspects of evidence that are extremely strong, and a lot of stuff is circumstantial. But as I say, some stuff is super strong. And I'm not going to touch much to that, just to say Bush, of course, as alleged by the FBI, did close investigations immediately. That was the obstruction. And the FBI do say, as does the government of India, that Muhammad Atta received wire transfer payments at the behest of General Mahmoud Ahmad, who was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11 and also was sent to the Taliban to let them know that no evidence will be brought against the accused, otherwise an innocent man in Christ, and you would be going against Allah to hand him over without thinking. Support the American cause of freedom for all and demand evidence to form your mind. And, of course, America didn't do that for yourselves, and investigations were closed, and all the bad guys escaped. But not forever. So I just wanted to say that there's a video out there that talks a lot about what you were talking about, and I've researched the subject quite extensively myself regarding the video of the planes, and I respect you a tremendous amount. I mean, you're better than 99.9% of everybody else on the Internet who can't bother to do anything, but I don't know what they're doing. You know, look at the...
John, the thing, first of all, on the planes is that you have to do the forensic, right?
Yeah.
I've done the forensic on the wreckage, which I have posted on the Node. I don't have much on this site. I'm not a website guy, but
nodisinfo.com
has a strewn wreckage page. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist or even a confused person. All you got to do is look at the wreckage, add 2 + 2, and see that it doesn't equal 4. No way. You've got 600,000 pounds of wreckage. You've got 1,000, 2,000 pounds of wreckage. Strewn wreckage.
Right. Well,
hold on.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
All right.
And Ron from Texas and everybody else will be back to you. Dr. K filling in for Rick Adams. I just come in on Monday night to pinch hit for him, and next Monday might not be able to make it, but Rick Adams is going to come in strong on some of these same subjects. But in any case, you do know, though, John, that Muhammad Atta was not Muhammad Atta, that it was the
live by what is solid, for sure, without contention, no argument to be made, like closing investigations. If you want to pursue the bad guys, you're going to have to get the cops on the subject. And Bush doesn't want that.
No, we're calling on the police and everybody to join together to prevent more of this kind of murder and mayhem.
Right. Right. And then in a court proceeding, you have video of liquefied iron flowing from the cellar like water. And then when they analyze the dust, it contains thermite, which is thermite. Which is the U.S. military concoction. Doesn't necessarily mean everybody in the U.S. military is an accomplice. That's the thing. They want us to be fearful of all soldiers like they're all bad guys.
Right. I think here's the clear thing that's really obvious, and that is if it was a CIA or military thing, be too many leaks. Francisco Cossiga has reminded everybody that, look, our intelligence agencies couldn't do it. It has to be more of a secretive group.
We do kind of know how it all went down. They try to implicate all kinds. Like, there's so many terror drills on the same time, the same location. One of those is the real one, and we'll hold that out over for the actual world court, or our court, the court of the public, to deviate which one's the evil one. But there's a group of people there that obviously are directly complicit, and they try to get a whole bunch of other people in the military to run your own drills. Do your own drills over here. Nobody's going to catch
it. You know what's really, really critical? Whoever had the gunpowder on their hands, that's how they, closed some cases in the criminal court. The only people that had the gunpowder and bombs in their hands were the Zionists.
It's
a lot easier to start boiling the thing down.
Yeah, and the charge of obstruction, they are assisting in the direct escape of those who did you wrong.
Well,
they are the criminals.
If you got a murder scene, the accomplices are one thing, but the guy that pulls the trigger and plots it is the other.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's where you go to Netanyahu, and that's where you go to Silverstein, that's where you go to Rockefeller, that's
Silverstein.
Where you go to Rothschild.
Silverstein.
One of the Rothschilds called in on a talk show, on the Alex Jones show. Now, that's pretty much unheard of.
I've heard that. He's, like, surprising not to many. He's not a very bright guy. But I just wanted to tell you about the planes going into the plane like butter. Now, this might shock you a bit. You can look at the evidence for yourself and draw your own conclusions, but it's scientific, and this is the kind of evidence that would be brought into a court of law to prosecute these guys.
Sure.
There's a video called 9/11 Impossible Speed and Impact Busted Updated. So if you put in quotes in Google "impossible speed and impact" in quotes, you'll for sure get this video. And in it, I love you. Telling you, you're a great guy. You're doing the right thing. But listen, they're saying, and you got all the science here in this video. They're talking about the aluminum alloys, the specific alloys that are used on this aircraft, have a higher tensile strength rating than structured steel, and the velocity at going, I think it's 540 feet a second, actually would cut right through the wall, and they have the science to show it. But, it's something.
You know what you need to do, John? You need to look at all the plane crashes instead of some buffoon who writes a video.
No. You could look at the science yourself.
Popular Mechanics is documented, supposedly.
Well, they have the charts of what the alloy of aluminum that they use for the aircraft.
Didn't we say that forensic analysis is what it's all about?
Mm-hmm.
The forensic is more important than somebody's analysis on a video.
Well, no, it's the charts of the tensile strength of aluminum alloy.
Are you comparing charts to actual plane crashes?
No, but you can. Okay, well, there's that. Here's another thing.
What's more powerful? What has happened for the last 50 years or a chart?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is there are contentious arguments.
Answer my question. Which one is the more powerful piece to show the truth? What happens or a chart?
Well, no, those in the aircraft industry developed the strongest aluminum they possibly could, and this alloy is stronger than structured steel, and that's the alloy that they use in these aircraft. That's just a fact. I'm telling you, that's what they're saying. You get the documents from the aircraft industry.
Do you really think that when you look at a plane's wing,
mm-hmm.
and you see it wobbling around, do you really think, regardless of what the chart says, just think about it. Forget the chart. You think that can smash its way through steel girders that are tempered steel made in Japan?
Well, that's the thing. It's kinetic energy. I can't, but the map on it is...
If you took an aluminum can and penetrate steel, whether 500, 300, 700 miles an hour.
Well, it's the formula for kinetic energy.
You know, it's not enough to have a formula. If you look at every plane crash. John, hold on.
Okay.
Every plane crash in the history of this world,
mm-hmm.
none of the plane wings penetrate a steel and concrete building. If you look at the 747 LL Airlines that apparently had explosives on board, smashing into a thin aluminum building, a 600,000-pound plane in 1987, I believe it was, the wing fell off in front of the building.
Right, right.
The fuselage is crumped up in front of the building.
Yeah, I believe that. I'm not doubting anything you're saying at all. I'm just saying that this physicist and those of the aircraft industry tell us this is with the alloy that are made in modern...
It's not a setup. John, but
anyway,
John,
okay.
Hold on. How do you know it's not a setup to try to deflect the powers of the minds like the popular mechanics setup? Or like
right, well, this...
Huh?
Anybody who disputes the physics, like he works out the physics of this, mass x velocity squared.
No, but it's your question.
Anybody,
how do you know, regardless of what he's worked up, that it's not a setup to try to prevent the revelation of the truth?
Well, there's a hundred.
Is that not a possibility?
Well, I'll answer you. There's anybody can respond to the video publicly and add your own comments. And he's just a physicist who said this. But we know that he closed the investigation. So if we're trying to implicate somebody for an inside job, we would go with Bush. But there's other evidence that's...
Well, why are you stressing Bush when the Israelis actually tried to blow up the George Washington Bridge a half a day later?
Oh, totally criminal. I know.
Yeah.
They need to be hunted down.
John. Who drove explosive-laden vans into the sub-basement of the World Trade Center?
Madness. They need to be hunted down and prosecuted by the full extent of the law.
Wouldn't you start first with those arch-criminals at least?
We have to get cops on the subject. If the president says no cops are going to be pursuing those leads, we're left in the dark.
Anything else, John, that you want to add?
The other thing is where they say the wing disappears, like they say, oh, look, it must be CGI because the wing disappears. Well, it's just a flash of light because you can get... Because there's a shadow that's in its space, and when it breaks the shadow, a light quickly flashes on the wing before it hits the building. This causes a video effect. It causes a video effect for the blue in the sky and the green on the wing to momentarily, in only one video, disappear. In another video, you can see it not disappear, but partially fade.
John.
Due to the...
John, I got a question for you. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Did you know that there was wreckage on the street before 8:48 a.m.?
Oh, I haven't heard that. That sounds pretty wild. Was the passport being found?
On the corner of Church and Murray Street.
That's
there is
amazing.
An engine setting upright and a sort of a wheel disc part of an engine on the street with police tape wrapped around it.
Wow.
Before the upper part of the World Trade Center supposedly was struck by a plane.
That's incredible. I've got a piece for you that you probably didn't hear of with Muhammad Atif. You know, they said that they found the passport 2 blocks away from the site. You're familiar with that, right?
That's been proven not to be true, but go ahead.
But the passport, I've seen an image, there's evidence, a photographic picture of the passport as evidence, and the photograph of the passport has loose papers within its pages. So,
it's not Muhammad Atif's passport. The passport actually has the name and photograph of Sultan al-Sulkami. And he, by the way, passed away in 2000. So some people made a mistake on the web and said it was Atif's passport. It's not. It's the passport to this fellow. The passport is coated in kerosene, but it's not on fire and it's not charred. And it was handed by a man in a pinstripe suit to Commander Lee, I think it was his name, one of the police officers. He gave him this kerosene-soaked passport and just kept on walking. And so that's the only evidence that we have.
Yeah, well,
a kerosene-soaked passport that's not on fire and about 3,000 pounds of plane parts versus 600,000 pounds of plane.
And you hear, too, that the identities of many of the alleged hijackers were Saudi Arabian pilots. Why would Al-Qaeda steal the identifications of Saudi Arabian pilots that, of course, didn't play a part in the terrorist attack?
Al-Qaeda? Or Saudita, which one?
Yeah, right, exactly. That's who we're dealing with. And they hold positions of political power by lying to us directly on television. We want investigations opened immediately, and any officer who would say otherwise would be a traitor. He would be an enemy of freedom in America.
They've got this oath of serving the devil, I guess. But I call on all of our people to wake up. John, thank you. And
all right.
You keep up with, you know, the good work.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
All right. Well, that was an interchange that we had.
All right, my friends, we are back here. Thanks so much for joining us tonight on this Tuesday edition of Axiom Radio. We're going to go right to the phone lines. I got John from Canada patiently waiting. John, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good.
So you got me going. On the gambling, online gambling, and the VLTs, the casinos.
Yep.
Much of our society, due to the lack of our television and radio professionals not living up to defending our communities, but the shocking thing of this, the hell of this, of course, as you're well aware, there's all kinds of crazy, hellish things going on, but as it is with online gambling, it's actually a criminal offense. It's the way they do the numbers. Now, the reason we can't directly accuse them of a criminal offense and call the cops or get the cops in there with a warrant and put them into prison, the reason we can't or we don't do that is because in Canada, for example, all our provinces run the same scam. And it's got to do with how they tabulate credits versus dollars. And the way the math is done, they can take any percentage of the deposited dollars wagered and promise any return. It's all a mathematical construct of phoniness that our society and our political reality just refuse to acknowledge. Because if we did, then we'd realize how stupid we've been for like more than a decade. And in Manitoba, for example, our Manitoba Lottery Corporation, as an employee there, you get a free car. Like, that's one of the perks, a brand-new free car. And they take trips around the world. And many other casinos practice similar shenanigans. Because even in that context, it's very hard to encourage our police officers to pay attention, because it gets close to the fact that our political representation is so incompetent. And they express very little true care for ourselves. Actually, most of the evidence in respect to the criminality of Manitoba's lottery systems were provided actually by the competing political party, the NDP, when they were running for power. They were running against the Conservatives, so this was one of their positions, was giving this information out and saying, look, they're stealing all our cash. And then when they got into power, they didn't do anything about it. And we're all just sort of watching all our money fly out the door. And in the States, it's going right out your country, right? Like you say, there's other ways of paying these guys. But the primary problem is that we don't want to look at how the math is done. Number of reasons. First of all, we got to start respecting computer programmers and people that actually have really good math skills, because it's not the easiest thing to explain, but it is a mathematical construct. And I wrote a paper about it about maybe something like 10 years ago called Stand Together or Don't. And in it, I talk about how the system is run and how the dollars are, or how the percentages are tabulated. It's like, again, because it's not a random winning situation. To make it easier and less long-winded, the guy who invented the first VLT machine was a Mr. Volker in Las Vegas. Mm. And once he invented it, he felt bad about it, or he realized that this system can be corrupted, and started speaking out against it in Las Vegas, and somebody assassinated him or shot him in the head, and he died right away. And we just continued on, you know, the provinces and Canada.
Their gaming secrets, like if you look at the Vegas, their gaming secrets are very well kept and very well guarded. And what they do is have a gaming commission come in there to make sure that these machines are paying out, I guess, what they say they pay out. But it's like you said, it's a mathematical construct. I mean, it's just a matter of time. It's math, and they always win. They're stealing our money.
Yeah, it is actually for sure criminal theft. Like the gaming commission, like if you phone the gaming commission in Manitoba, they would say, well, they return 96%. And if you call the Manitoba Lottery Corporation, they'd say that they return 69% or so. Now, the gaming commission says that because they have to prop up their lies. And now they're only counting credits. They're not going to do the percentages dollar-wise. Now, the Manitoba Lotteries, theirs is a scam too, but they say they're kind of doing it by the dollars. But it's not the dollars. Actually, when you actually get the numbers in your hand
and find out what the percentages truly are in our poorest community, poorest streets, poorest neighborhoods in Winnipeg. They take as much as 78% of the deposited dollars wagered, while the newspaper and the local TV station say they're only taking 4%. And that, this has been going on for, like I say, at least a decade. And the same thing happens in the States also. It's because, and if you want to, what they do is to take a higher percentage of the dollars wagered, they do what's called churning credits. So when you say you're wagering, 5 credits on one play, you won back 5 credits. So you haven't gone anywhere, you haven't lost or you haven't won. And the machine's just paid you back what you wagered. Well, technically the computer has won because they're gonna take 4% of that exchange. And that's how they do it. The more returns they get that are identical to what you've wagered, the higher the percentage of the overall money wagered they will be able to pocket.
Right.
And that's stuff, isn't it?
I was going to say, it's a really sad system, too, because what they do is they prey on people who are or tend to be socioeconomically poor. And these social planners, they do this every time. If you look at a poor neighborhood, that's what you see: the most off-track betting, the most lottery stations, the most scratch ticket availability, and the most liquor stores and alcohol availability.
Yeah.
They always put them in the poorest neighborhood, and it's just so sad to see it happening.
The highest, like I say, in Winnipeg, in other areas of the city, you know, the more well-to-do bars, their takes aren't anywhere near what it is in the poorer communities. But I actually have a defense for them, and it's got to do with how the program, how the computer program is written.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff is copyright, private priority, or private, what's the terminology? Anyway, it's owned by a private corporation, and you're not allowed to see the computer code. But I guess I'm pretty close to it. I'm not an expert. No, I guess I shouldn't say that. But I'm familiar with computer programming, and I know mathematics fairly well, and I can tell you exactly how the whole thing's operating, particularly because over the first 8 or 9 years when the machine was tilted, or if you hit the machine hard, or when they emptied it out, a receipt would come out of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just simply grab these receipts if you wanted, and it was about how the whole thing runs. And then, like I say, it's the percentages generally when the media says, oh, it's a good thing for us because the money will go to our social programs, they'll lie on those percentages just counting credits. And even the dollars, when you count the dollars, it's still not a true... All we know for sure is they're cheating at play, and that's the Criminal Code of Canada. You can't pretend it's a lottery device. So a guy sued the government in Nova Scotia. He said, I lost $50,000 playing these VLT machines, and I just discovered, because I'm smart as this John guy is, that this isn't even a lottery device. You've been scamming me. This wasn't an honest wagered bet because it isn't based on any random occurrence. It's decided prior to me even playing whether I'm going to get robbed or otherwise. There isn't a random occurrence. So he took it to court, and guess what? He won his case.
Whoa.
And they had the state of Nova Scotia gave him back his money that he lost playing VLTs because it wasn't a lottery device. And that's when gaming commissions cropped up all across Canada. Before that, every province just had a lottery corporation. Then all of a sudden, since he won his case, they didn't want other people suing the government and finding out what was going on. They opened up the gaming commissions. And that's why you have that contradiction, where if you phone the Manitoba Gaming Commission, they say they're only taking 4%. And if you phone the Manitoba Lotteries, they say they're taking about 36%.
Right.
And, you know, the media never demands an explanation or arrest warrants or whatever. So to do the same scam that anybody else can, you just set up a gambling site on the Internet, say you're paying out whatever. It doesn't matter. You can take whatever percentage of the dollars deposited as long as you can churn credits, and it's not, and of course, as a consequence, it's not based on any random occurrence or.
John, I got a break right here. Do you want to hold over for the break and finish this conversation?
Sure.
Awesome. Okay, hold there. Hold tight. We'll come right back with John from Canada and continue this conversation. This is Axiom Radio. With our friend John from Canada, we were talking about basically the gaming system and how it's a great system. It's a mathematical formula designed to suck your money out, and it's just a matter of time. It's a given. There is no other way around it. And these are the slot machines, the video poker machines, the VLT machines, and a lot of the online gaming. Online gaming is set up in the exact same way. And it's really sad to see people not questioning it. There's really no debate or discussion in the mainstream media. And now in my country, in the U.S., you have people like Barney Frank making it even easier, you know, trying to remove a ban that we have in place to allow these companies to continue what they're doing. And that's to basically deceive people and offer them these false dreams of hope and financial freedom. And it just doesn't happen. It's such a rare event. And what normally happens is people are bled dry, and there's just a simple, basic entertainment value attached. And, man, it goes beyond buyer beware. But, John, please continue.
Yeah, well, you know, it is, like, I refer to it as a beast, like, or a monster. It is, like, when we really understand the nature of what it is, or some other aspects of it, we recognize it as some kind of, you know, mythical monster from folklore. I'm telling you, like, economics, it doesn't make sense. It's what's called a regressive system, because normally when the government takes in revenue, it's associated to the exchange of a good or a service.
Right.
In the case of gambling revenues, it's just, it doesn't represent any exchange in the society.
It's pure entertainment. So, that's why I chalk it up to, like, a pure entertainment value. But people don't recognize or at least realize
right.
that they're going there strictly to be entertained, and it's going to cost them. They go there with the hopes and the dreams of maybe winning a bunch of money and having some financial security.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, for sure. That's a big part of it. Like, I think the answer is 100% payouts. And then, you know, you get rid of organized crime and all these guys who get trips, free trips around the world. And there's so much corruption. I could talk for hours on just, you know, the fact that there's evidence indicating that people that work there win the majority of the big prizes, you know. So this is the thing. The reason the media doesn't defend ourselves is because, if, for example, then here in Winnipeg, the Winnipeg Free Press has front page ads every single day. Go to the casino, go play the VLT. So they get, who knows what that equals per year.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, they don't feel obligated to attack their huge, probably their biggest financial backer. And newspapers, you know, they make all their money on advertising. In fact, they can make more money by just giving the money, the papers, away for free. And people don't realize that either. What? Yeah. You know, we think that they make money on the selling of the paper, but it's really the advertising where all the revenue comes from. So they don't want to attack this candy boat. And it represents just a loss straight across the board. There's no benefit to this, because normally when the government takes in that much revenue, a million would represent, you know, tens of millions almost $100 million worth of some kind of exchange of good or service. This is just a pure tax, and it's coming out of the people who spend the largest percentage of their income paycheck to paycheck on groceries. For example, a person who's a waitress, she'll spend a higher percentage of her income each month on groceries than, say, a billionaire banker does, or a hedge fund trillionaire. Like a hedge fund trillionaire, maybe he'll pull in $800 billion this year for himself personally. He's not going to spend like 10% of that cash on pizza.
Right.
You know, the larger income you have, if people say, well, you're just a commie. Well, no, I'm actually understanding that the currency is the nation's currency, and you want to be fair here. But this situation is, you're taking huge amounts of money from the poorest segments of our communities, so they're not going to be spending it at the corner store.
Yep.
And
the economy. I totally agree. This is exactly what I say about gambling, Johnny. You couldn't have conveyed it any better. That's the thing. It's a scam. It's bad for the economy. It doesn't help any segment of the population. And it's literally like a hidden tax, because all you're getting is an entertainment value off of it. So, I mean, I can't believe that it's gotten so huge. It's huge in this country right now. Gambling's everywhere. Off-track betting, casinos popping up everywhere, river boats and ocean casino boats. And it's just very, very pervasive right now.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's one other example I wanted to give you. I almost forgot that it was I think it was La Paz. It's a town in Manitoba. And each year they get so many X amount of dollars from the province for projects that are funded through the province for the city. Well, they lose more money in VLT losses, like more money comes out of the town and into the coffers of the bigwigs in Winnipeg than does go into the province through provincial transfers. So there is no other side to this. The whole community is being bled. These people are going to suffer. There's going to be fewer jobs, or fewer dollars, fewer jobs, more poor people. And so there's no benefit to this, and yet the government is promoting it. They sell the advertising. Or in Canada, it's the government. Well, in the States, it is largely also. It's a government enterprise to push this form of death on ourselves, because they personally, privately, can pocket off our losses. and it's a scam. And I figure the best, easiest answer is a transparent system where 100% of all dollars wagered are paid out in one form or another. And then you defeat all the people who say, well, we've got to have a casino to compete against the riverboat casinos. We've got to have a casino here because all our dollars will go to another community. Well, we'll open up a casino, but we'll pay out every single last cent. And if it has a high operating cost, we'll tax the banks to run the thing. And
right.
then I think solve all the issues right there. Because I put a lot of thought into it. You know, I've been thinking about it for a decade or whatever. But I really think that that's a good idea. And other people have proposed that sort of solution. If the government needs money, then we're going to have to pay the taxes for it. If we can't afford it, we won't pay for it. That's how the system's supposed to work. We don't want to encourage ourselves. Let's rip off Grandma Jones. She doesn't know any better. And as a consequence, like the newspaper sells, the government will take in more revenue, and you'll pay less in taxes. And that's all they have to tell people. And a lot of people just take that. That's enough. Yeah, it's good. VLTs is good. The gambling is good because they'll pay less in taxes. And yeah, this kind of thing is you're debasing your economy. You're going to probably lose your job. And the government is taking up money that normally would represent, you know, literally billions of dollars in action. So our society further and further dies while the government officials get richer and richer and richer, and it's not supposed to work that way.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be of the government, of the people.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Yeah. Sean, excellent points, man. I really do appreciate it. Anything else you want to talk about? Or is it,
we got to get the 9/11, guys. Let's open 9/11 investigations. But other than that, keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks, John. Really appreciate it. Really good points there, and I do appreciate that, man. And call you back soon, man. Love to hear from you again soon. All right, take care, John. All right, there goes John. He makes excellent points. You know, gambling is, it just doesn't benefit anybody. You know, out of the one person out of 1,000 that gets rich and makes it and gains some sort of financial security from it, and they even show the numbers and statistics from people who do win and win, you know, big, they end up usually gambling back a good percentage, if not all of it and more.